welcome to the List Film Podcast. Yeah, I'm excited. Who's excited?
I feel like we're back.
I feel like we were all apart for a while. Like Adam wasn't here for an episode or two. Kevin, you weren't here.
But that was the last episode when we all
came together.
The last episode was the reunion episode.
Don't you remember the tears and the hugs?
Oh yeah. I forgot about that, guys. It was really awkward, but yeah.
Don't lie. You know all the podcast ends with tears and hugs.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So for the new listeners, we are a weekly film podcast where we list and discuss our top five favorite films, actors, actresses, whatever. Whatever topic we're talking about that week, we list our top five. And what are we talking about today?
Outlaws.
Yes. I guess we're talking about Outlaws because of Lawless, right?
Which came out today.
Yes. Well, today?
Today.
Well, when this airs, the day we're recording it?
Yeah, it's out in theaters right now. You can go
okay.
See it.
Yeah. But when this airs on, like, Monday, it'll be out for a couple days. All right. Well, let's get into talking about any movies we saw this week or any new movies we've seen, period. Guys, what's going on in the world? First of all, for the new listeners, I am Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
I'm Kevin.
There we go. Four people talking about movies. Getting all nerdy. All right. Guys, you guys want to start with anything you guys watched this weekend? Week before? Whatever?
Well, I felt I had to start catching up. So I saw three movies this week. I saw The Expendables 2. Celeste and Jesse Forever.
Oh, how was that?
I really liked it a lot.
All right, let's start with that one. You liked it a lot.
It was hard at times to watch because it's a movie that feels very real, specifically with the relationship and kind of how things can go certain ways and how you can really hurt somebody that you care about by saying certain things. And so at times it was hard because the main character at first it's hard to like her. You do like her, but it can be hard. So at first I was like, do I like this movie? And then as I'm watching and watching and watching, I was like, at the end of the movie, I was like, this movie was really, really good. One thing that I really, really, really loved was the music. The songs that were written specifically for the movie by Sonny Levine were amazing, and they were used so well in the scenes. It was just, they just did a wonderful job with that. And Rashida Jones, I like, but I've never just been like, oh yeah, I'm going to check this out because of Rashida Jones, completely won me over and was fantastic. She wrote a role that she just ate up.
She wrote it? She wrote the movie?
She was one of the writers, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she co-wrote it with the guy that plays the kooky. Yes. What's his name?
What is his name? But all I have to say is every scene he is in, he just steals it. He's so awesome.
And so how much would you pay to see that movie in theaters?
I would pay ArcLight prices.
Which you paid?
I didn't see that at the ArcLight. I actually saw it in AMC. I used a movie pass to see it, but I would pay to see it again, and I would pay ArcLight prices.
Okay.
Will McCormick.
Co-wrote it.
I also really enjoyed it. I saw it a while back.
Neat.
It's. I feel like this is the first time in my memory where Rashida Jones was the star of something for me. Like, she's always part of an ensemble in my mind.
Yeah.
I really liked her in this. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
There's a few awkward moments for me. But I felt like I blamed it on the music cue, not on the scene. There's a scene later on in the movie where the music cue comes on and it makes the scene feel kind of date rapey. And I'm like, I don't like where this.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I could,
yeah, like, yeah, I could see. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's the music cue. I feel like it's just a little bit off. But other than that, it was great.
Is that
really
only
pretty.
In theaters or is it also on demand?
I was looking at Vudu today and I did not see it on Vudu. And they're usually pretty good at keeping up on anything that could be on demand.
Okay.
They did a really small release.
Yeah.
Like and, a slow open.
And then you
I think
saw...
it just went to the NoHo 7 by us. I don't think it's been there, and I think I just saw... Or it's coming there this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. And then you saw Expendables 2. How was that?
Expendables 2. I loved it. I felt like a little boy just in the theater and just enjoyed myself.
I feel like there's a lot of hate for this movie. Like, oh...
That's very specific hate.
Yeah. I think people forget how shitty some action movies were in the 80s.
Yeah.
And this is exactly, it's at the same caliber.
I feel. Yeah, it's, To me, no story.
Just
yeah, it's very ass. Little plot. It's just pretty straightforward, mindless, violent action. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I wanted.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It fits right in.
Brilliant one-liners that they just spit out sometimes that are, it's like, okay, no one would actually say that, but that was genius.
Yes. I expect that. And I can't wait to see it. How much would you pay to see that?
I would pay an Arclight price to see it.
Yeah.
I really would.
You're like, I would pay IMAX. And then, Adam, what'd you see?
I saw Cosmopolis.
I read your review on that.
Oh, yeah. So I don't even need to tell you how much I didn't like that movie.
Wow. Yeah, no, you know. But tell our audience. So how much would you pay to see that movie?
I am glad that I did not pay to see that movie because... Okay, so I have to give a little backstory. I worked in a movie theater where I kind of... I was a manager who would always have to explain to people why they couldn't have their money back.
Yeah.
Coming from that background, I still would have argued with the manager of whatever theater I was in to get my money back.
Really?
I'm like, I blame you. I know you had nothing to do with it, but you're showing it. And so you're encouraging people to see it. I want my money back.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I really did not like it at all.
You would equate the manager to like a Nazi not doing anything.
Silence is consent.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's not like a crime against me. But I was sitting there for the first half hour, 45 minutes going like, I could be at home looking in on the Big Brother house instead of watching this.
Okay. They say two things. We could either have someone punch you in the nuts or you could watch this again. You could either get a really strong woman with a right hand to hit you in the nuts or a really strong man with his left hand. Or you could watch
this movie again. Wait, and he's a writer?
And he's a writer.
Okay. Or I could finish watching the movie?
Or you watch it again. They make you watch it again. You got to pick one.
Well, I mean, that's...
Life or death.
I'm going to take watching a stupid movie over physical pain.
Well, then it's over.
Because like, I can just zone out. And I'm just going to be rude during it. I'm probably... I have to sit in the theater and watch a movie. All right, cool. I got Netflix on my phone. I'll just put something good on. Yeah. I'll watch a good Cronenberg movie instead.
Or you go all... No, don't go in that door. No, no.
But what if they go, like, what if they treat you like Alex in Clockwork Orange and they make you keep your eyes open and chain you to a chair and you have to watch it? You can't, like, watch Netflix.
Or someone gets to punch me in the balls?
Or punch
someone in the balls. I would take the punch in the balls. Okay.
Finally, I get the answer I want. Anything else?
Let me first say about Cosmopolis. The last scene between Paul Giamatti and Robert Pattinson is pretty amazing.
Okay.
If I could just watch that scene on a loop for an hour and a half, that'd be pretty cool.
Okay.
But all the stuff in the limo, I really hate.
Okay.
I don't, it should, and it, like the way his character has Prousted his limo, so he's lined it in court to block out the sound. So it's just this eerie silence, and I get it, but it's just, it's not fun to watch. It's not visually compelling to me. I was like, I don't care. Yeah. It's like being stuck in a car with someone you don't like.
Interesting. Yeah. I know what that feels like. So
and then I saw Side by Side, which is about film versus digital, and that was very good. I just came from that.
Awesome. It's
very interesting. Very interesting things that people say, and it's interesting to see people in the industry and what they have to say about film versus digital.
Nice. And that was produced and
narrated.
Keanu, right?
Yeah, narrated? Keanu narrated it. He's like in it as the host.
Yeah, yeah. But he didn't direct it. Some other dude.
Yeah. Okay.
Jenny?
I finally saw Red Dawn.
The original?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what'd you think?
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. I'm excited about the new one coming out because I think the cast is going to do really well.
I'm glad you watched it finally.
Yeah.
It's a kick-ass movie. And then we watched Lawless.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I thought it was okay when I first saw it, but the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh man, that was really good. Like, just like,
yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah,
a lot.
I thought it was good, but I didn't think like it blew me away until I really, like today I was like thinking about it all day and I'm like, why am I still thinking about this movie? And it's because it kind of stuck with me.
I actually want to go see it again.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much I liked it. I want to go see it again.
I think Shia LaBeouf stole that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Not Tom Hardy?
Yeah, well, see, well, Tom Hardy...
Shia LaBeouf is supposed to... I mean, he's like the narrator. It's like a story pretty much about...
He's kind of the lead, kind of, I'd say.
He kind of is, yeah. So I think he's supposed to steal the movie. But he has this one like really emotional scene that's really good.
Yeah.
He really surprised me because I'm not the biggest Shia LaBeouf fan. Like I used to be when I was younger, but it's because I was younger. You know, I didn't know better. So I liked him.
But I've always been a LaBeouf fan. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yes. Since Even Stevens.
I liked Even Stevens, but I was also a child.
I was too, but I mean, I just everything like Freaks and Geeks. I liked him in that. I liked him.
He was
in
that for like an episode.
I'm just saying, I appreciate his work, except for the abortion that was Indiana Jones. That wasn't his fault.
I don't know that I really liked Eagle Eye either, though.
I didn't mind it, but I mean, Shia LaBeouf. Like, I've been a big fan, and he keeps letting me down. Like, I'm like, damn it, that wasn't good. Why did you pick that, dude?
Yeah.
And then, like, feel
that's
like now
how I keep feeling
now. Him. Now I feel like finally, dude. Now I could.
He really found a part that he was good for,
and now I could say, yeah, I like LaBeouf. So what? Bitches.
Tom Hardy was really good in it, though, too.
Yeah, everybody was good. The guy who plays the other brother, I forget his name. He's in
Brotherhood. Yeah, I don't know him from other things.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Everybody who's in it, Guy Pearce, fucking creepy, man.
Do you like The Proposition?
I do.
So, between the two?
The Proposition, because I'm a Western guy.
Okay.
So, I mean,
I love The Proposition.
Can't fuck with that, dude. And we got to hang out. Well, not hang out. We weren't like fucking. We went out for drinks with them. Yeah, we were. We got to see Q&A with Nick Cave and John Hillcoat. And my favorite thing out of the John Hillcoat thing was when he talked about the sequel to Gladiator that he wrote. Not John Hillcoat. Nick Cave. Yeah, sorry. Nick Cave wrote a script for the Gladiator sequel. Did you read my post, Adam?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So they're like, I guess the interviewer had clearly read the script before, because he's like, tell us about the script, you know? And he's like, well, the gist of it is it basically starts off in purgatory and it ends on the Vietnam War. He's like, Ridley fucking loved it. He's like, Russell Crowe, not so much. But I want to read that script now, because I'm like, how the hell does it get from the, what happens in the middle?
Reincarnation.
I know. Yeah. I guess so. That's creepy, though.
Gladiator is too badass for hell. He fights his way through hell and comes back to life and has to go to Vietnam.
He kicks.
Or what if it's like kind of like Spawn? Oh. He's like a minion for the devil to like bring souls back to hell.
I hear you.
And so he goes into Vietnam because obviously he's a bunch of soldiers that are going to die. So he brings their souls back to hell.
Interesting.
That's messed up.
Interesting. Yeah.
He's like the reverse Constantine. But yeah, it was really cool. Loved it. And yeah, I like all of John Hillcoat's movies, so I have nothing bad to say. Score was cool. Everything was top notch. Enjoyed it. I didn't know it was filmed digitally until the end, until he mentioned it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So, yeah, go see it. And then, what else? Anything else you guys saw, Jenny? Did you go see anything in theaters?
I don't think so.
All right.
I saw one more thing.
What'd you see?
Premium Rush.
How was that?
Oh, really?
It's a popcorn movie. It's just a fun popcorn film.
How much would you pay?
And Michael Shannon is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Oh,
of course he is.
How much would I pay? I'd pay matinee prices for it. It's a lot.
$6.
Where did you go to see it? Because it's not at a MoviePass theater.
Oh, no. I paid to see it. Okay. A friend wanted to see it, so I went with her.
All right. I really want to see it, but it's not at the MoviePass sponsored theater yet.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I would pay $12 to see Lawless. Jenny?
I would pay Arclight prices, I think. Yeah.
All right. So let's get into the stream of the week, the Netflix stream of the week.
Oh, okay.
I feel like we should have like a little like drop, like Netflix stream of the week. Go ahead.
There you go. Now you can just go back in and just take that. Just take that section out and play it, put it in every show.
Yeah.
Okay. So my stream of the week is for the topic. It's Thieves Like Us, Robert Altman movie about thieves during the late 30s, 40s-ish, starring Shelley Duvall and Keith Carradine and John Shuck, who's really good. It's a fun little movie. It's very Bonnie and Clyde-esque, like a lighter Bonnie and Clyde. And it's fun. It's on Instant. You should check it out.
Yeah. Excellent. Thieves Like Us. Netflix stream of the week. All right. Let's get into the list. Today we're talking about Outlaws. I did characters, and I guess I'll talk about character, then I'll talk about the movie. But who wants to start it off? Adam or Kevin? You guys weren't here last week.
We were both there.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'll start off.
That's punishment. You guys go first.
Alrighty. That's interesting punishment. At least you're not punching me in the balls.
I gave you the option to go first or get punched in the balls.
Okay, so my number five is from 1996, and it is From Dusk Till Dawn.
Huh.
Nice.
Okay. Nice. I dig that.
Yeah.
I dig the movie, too. Even though it's two different movies, I still like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like halfway through the movie, like, fuck this. Let's just throw in some vampires and see what happens.
Yeah. I feel like Tarantino was like, I have the script for a movie I never finished. And Robert Rodriguez is like, what's it like? And he's like, well, there's these two brothers and they're outlaws, blah, 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 blah. And they go to this bar. And I that's where I stopped. He's like, vampires show up. he's like, that's a pretty good idea. How does it end? Everybody fucking dies. All right. Let's film that.
There you go. The Gecko brothers are just some amazingly badass outlaws who rob a bank after breaking out of prison, and then they end up in a bar full of blood-sucking vampires.
Yeah, in Mexico.
In Mexico. Yeah. The Titty Twister.
Yes.
And it's just so much fun, so much bloody good fun. I mean, what else would you expect from Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez working together?
This was the first movie, feature film that Clooney did. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right?
The first feature? I don't think so.
It was the first feature where he was lead, I think.
Yeah, I think that might...
I feel like One Fine Day was like 1995.
Man, I want to say this was first, dude. All right, anyway.
Because I know in the making of, they're talking a
this
lot about...
This was like Brokamp. Yeah. This was like, oh, hey, now he's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. But I enjoyed it. I love Tarantino in it. I love the overacting. I love everything about this movie. I like... Just like... I always wanted to hear why they were in jail. Like, I always wanted to know, like, all that backstory. And, there's cool cameos. Cheech Marin, Michael Parks is in this. John Hawks is in this. He's a store clerk.
They're both great.
There's so many good...
Wait, you said Michael Parks, right?
Yeah.
Michael Parks. Who else? Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo.
Tom Savini.
Yeah.
Jim... Or, wait, it's not Jim Brown.
Jim Brown,
it's,
no. It's Bo? No. Oh, man. He's from Inglourious Bastards, the original.
Yep.
I can't remember his name. But yeah, there's so many good cameos.
Fred Williamson,
that's right. And then of course, Harvey Keitel.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
Juliette Lewis.
And they both came out the same year. I'm reading. One Fine Day and From Dusk Till Dawn were the same year, which is a weird, like, oh, hey, it's George Clooney. Let's go see this movie.
Yeah.
Blood and Guts and Vampires.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. And good start off. Good way to start us off. Jenny?
Okay, so I kind of went back and forth and did characters and movies.
Mm-hmm.
I apparently haven't seen that many outlaw movies either. Surprise.
Whoa.
I've seen a lot of the newer ones.
Have you seen Spider-Man? That's an outlaw.
He is an outlaw.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of the older ones. Like, I mean, I won't get into it, but all those, the Clint Eastwood ones like that, I haven't seen a lot of those. So I need to go back and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, my number five is...
American Outlaws.
It's Scott Conn.
Is it really?
No, it's not. It's,
I would have been totally okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
I used to love that movie.
I like Conn Farrell.
But it's been a while since I've seen it. I don't know if it holds up still.
Probably not.
I liked it when I was younger because it was hot guys. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, they are hot.
Right?
Woo!
All right, my number five is Tombstone.
Oh.
It's kind of an outlaw movie.
They're chasing outlaws.
I mean, they're chasing outlaws.
Yeah.
So this one isn't really a character. It's more of the movie part for me.
Yeah.
See, this brings me to the problem with this category where it's like, all right, so outlaws is also very much associated with Westerns, but we haven't done Westerns yet, so it's like, I don't want to spoil Westerns list.
I had a lot of trouble with
that. Damn it.
I'm hoping I'll see a lot more of the older ones before we do a Westerns list, and then I can use those for that, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll work.
Yeah.
But, so it's I actually rewatched it this weekend, so it was perfect. I didn't even ask to rewatch it. It kind of just happened. But 90s, you know, Kurt Russell, what's-his-face plays Doc Holliday.
Val Kilmer.
Technically, he's kind of an outlaw.
Yeah.
Kind of, he's an outlaw.
Like, he robs that poker game.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Powers Booth is a badass outlaw.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael Biehn as Johnny Ringo is so awesome.
Johnny Ringo.
I want your blood.
And I love Sam Elliott. I don't know. There's something about him.
Yes.
Oh, he's Sam Elliott's the man.
I don't see enough of Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Is he still around?
Oh, he's around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's probably a lot older now.
So he's still kicking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he should be in more things.
I feel like the last thing off the top of my head that I can remember him in was the Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was a while back. Yeah. So yeah. I'm sure he's done something since then.
He was in Thank You for Smoking and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Good. Good pick. Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't step on anybody's toes, I hope. With hers. Not mine.
Not mine.
So for my number five, I picked a movie from 1983. I picked Scarface. Tony Montana. He's an outlaw. And I've been on this, I mean, I've always been a fan of Brian De Palma, but I've been on lately on this like really big Brian De Palma kick. And now I can't wait for his new movie, Passion. So, yeah, Tony's a amino outlaw all the way from Cuba.
Who's the one that doesn't like Scarface?
I don't like Scarface.
You don't like Scarface. That's right. What is that?
Is it the stigma of it that like rappers adopted it or just you don't like the movie?
Well, I definitely don't like the whole... rappers or just the urban aspirations modeling your life after a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that.
I think it's really stupid.
Yes.
And
it's
I don't know.
Did you guys not see the end of the movie?
Yeah.
He gets killed.
Yeah. He's like, I want to go out in a blaze of glory. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Fine. I don't know. It's a weird thing because like certain movies, the way they romanticize being an outlaw. I mean, I'm never like, oh yeah, I want to be the bad guy. The bad guy, like, I would like to play the bad guy as an actor, but I don't want to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to live outside the law and be pursued.
For me, the love of this movie comes from, like, just, like, everything about it. Like, just, like, the music, the clothes, the cars.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm such a big fan of the 80s. Like, music and, like, everything about it. Especially like early 80s, like pre-AIDS, like right
pre-AIDS, like
right, yeah, pre-AIDS.
Right in the Coke area,
right in the beginning of the excess.
Yes,
right.
It's all about the Coke.
I love pre-AIDS. The outfits in that movie. They're so like they're 80s, but they're a different type of 80s. Like they're gangster 80s. So yeah,
well,
and
it's also
awesome.
That 80s where it's like still the 70s petering.
Yeah,
it hasn't got to the big crazy. Like designing women 80s stuff.
Yeah. Big shoulder pads.
Yeah, big shoulder pads where women look like linebackers.
Exactly. Yeah. and just like the cars, the Porsche has and how he wants to bulletproof it. And like, it just like everything. And especially like the score. It's very like, it just like synthesizers. And it's, I love the score. So, and just the way, you know, the film techniques they use in some of the stuff. It's really cool. I thought it's one of my favorites.
For some, I don't know. I feel like Tony Montana is also just, wait, is it Montana, Montoya?
Montana.
Montana. just as a character, I don't really, as far as criminal characters that I relate to, he's not very human to me.
No, I agree with that.
I don't know. It's not one of my favorite movies. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to talk about. Like, I feel like I'm defending. It's like, it's not like the worst movie ever. Yeah. I'd watch Scarface before to watch Cosmopolis again.
Okay.
There you go.
Because at least it's entertaining.
Yeah.
And there's stuff happening and it's visually interesting. But I don't know. I need to rewatch it. I keep saying I need to rewatch it and I haven't yet.
And for me also too, it's just like a fish out of water tale. You know what I mean? Like this guy, it's like in the United States and he's like, just like some of the stuff they say is pretty funny. Like the sanitation. He's like, I said sanitarium, not sanitation, you idiot.
and then, it has some great lines like, how'd you get that scar? By eating your mama's pussy. Yeah. That will always stick out in my mind.
Yeah.
Another reason, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, is for a possible seed of not liking this movie. Technically, it was the first movie I ever saw as an infant. My parents took me with them to see it. So I was a baby. And maybe just scarred me for life.
Yeah.
And so I just can't.
Yeah,
it's against my happy place.
Like every time somebody says "say hello to my little friend," you like cold sweats and you get into fetal position.
I don't know,
something
like that.
Well, there you go, Scarface, my number five.
Okay, so my number five is my one like kind of like childhood remembrance film, and it's from 1990, and it's Young Guns 2.
Ooh,
yep.
Very cool. Okay, we'll see another Young Guns.
I actually watched this a lot more when I was a kid than I did Young Guns.
Really?
You know, it was just always on. I always watched it, and it holds a place in my heart, and I can still rewatch it and still love it.
I shouldn't say this because it's you know, as a aspiring filmmaker, I feel like the Lincoln County War saga could be told like as an HBO like show, like just like Billy Kid coming in to like the Lincoln Wars and, and him being chased. It's such a grand story. Like It's funny. These two movies, Young Guns 1 and 2, like inspired me to like go out and read about Billy Kid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
wow. Like,
there's that, a lot of, yeah, no, that, it did.
A lot of interesting like stories and like the folklore and all that. And 2 is really well made because of the way it starts off. Because it's like, you know, it's like there's cars. And when I first started, I was like, why are there cars in this movie? It's a Western. And then, like, the way they explain it. And it just,
and he's narrating throughout.
Yeah.
Isn't that Bradley Whitford he's talking to?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And Emilio Estevez.
I got scars. Yes.
Emilio Estevez. I just love his cockiness and bravado at playing Billy. It's just something I always remember. Whenever I think of this movie, I just think of Emilio Estevez and just how great he is in this movie.
Yeah.
I really just want to watch it right now. Because all of them are so great. Emilio, Kiefer Sutherland as Doc, that opening scene with him where he's teaching the class.
Yeah.
Did they all come back for the second one too?
As long as they didn't die in the first.
As long as they didn't die. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen either one of them, but.
Oh, then I like
everyone in the
who
cast.
Died.
Yeah. So.
And it's funny. I was just talking to somebody describing this Western because it's not a Western like a full on Western. It's like a popcorn Western.
Yeah,
is what I call it. And
Brat Pack Western.
Yeah, it's a Brat Pack Western. I love it. I'll. Whatever.
I mean, it has music done by Bon Jovi.
My number 4 is Young Guns 1. So
there you
go.
We'll talk about it, Young Guns 1 after. But I love this movie because Pat Garrett is played by the dude from CSI. What's his name?
It is.
You know what I'm talking about.
Is it David Morse?
It's
No. It's the guy who played. He was a
Peterson,
Manhunter.
Right?
Yes, Peterson.
William Peterson.
William Peterson, yeah. And then you have so many. Viggo Mortensen's in this.
Viggo Mortensen, yeah.
He plays a. What's it called?
He's a Texas Ranger.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't James Coburn?
Coburn has a small part in it. Yeah.
Okay.
He plays Mr.
He plays Chisholm.
He's like you stole my farm, Mr. Chisholm.
Diamond Phillips is great.
Ferris Bueller's friend. What's his name?
Alan Ruck.
Yes.
Yes, he's great.
He's great.
Buckshot.
Yeah.
Buckshot Ed or whatever.
Yeah. He's all, you're Buckshot. He's all, I don't want a nickname. I'm scared. Yeah.
Christian Slater. As Arkansas
Dave Rudabaugh.
Yeah. I like him. I like him in this because he's such a dick.
And it has that one girl who disappeared off the face of the earth from Near Dark.
Oh, May. Something May, right?
Yeah. Who she has that one scene where she walks out naked and gets on the horse and rides off.
Yes. Yes. Her line's like, you can kiss my lily white ass.
Yep.
Is it Jenny Wright?
Yeah, yes. Jenny Wright.
I thought it was May something. I think her name is May
in Jane.
Near Dark.
Yeah, it's May.
Yeah. But it's a good movie. I like
Balthazar
it.
Getty.
Very young.
Like Marbles. Marbles.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good pick, dude. Good outlaws.
Yeah.
A gaggle of outlaws. In that
a
movie.
Whole bunch of them. Yes. Arguing about who's the best outlaw.
Yes. good pick.
That fight scene between Arkansas Dave and
Lou Diamond
Phillips.
Oh, when he stabs
him in the arm.
Chavez, eat Chavez.
And just, I mean, like how tough Chavez is because he's just sitting, he's got a knife in his arm and he's not like tearing up. He's not like, oh, this hurts. He's just like,
and
got this.
He's like, you want your knife back?
Yeah.
And he just sits there and lets him pull it back out of his arm.
Yep.
Badass.
Yeah. Yeah. Good pick, dude. Good pick. Adam?
Okay. So, my number 4, I feel like I'm not completely in the 90s on this list. My number 4 is from 1995, and it's Get Shorty.
Mm. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
I dig.
A loan shark. That's a kind of outlaw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the outskirts of working his way into Hollywood. And it's just a fun movie. And it's also the way it deals with the sort of the outlaws in the industry, like all the hoods who want to be producers, like Delroy Lindo's character is great to me. Yeah. The scene between him and John Travolta after they're both broken into Gene Hackman's office and they're talking about fixing the scripts. Like, all you got to do is write down, and if someone comes in, they put in the periods and the commas, and you write the end. So that is.
Gandolfini's in this as well.
Hey, James Gandolfini. Yeah. Rene Russo is great. Yeah. Dennis Farina is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's just hilarious. He kind of steals the movie to me.
Yeah.
Like every scene he's in, just because that's that rapid fire wise guy speak.
Yes.
And every other word is
when
fuck.
He shoots at his head and there's the look on his face when he turns around and walks out.
Yeah. It's a good movie. Yeah. I like it. Not a fan of the sequel, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
What was it called again?
Be Cool. Be Cool.
That's right.
Where he switches from movies to the music industry.
No, yeah. There's someone in that that's really funny, though.
The Rock?
The Rock is pretty
the
funny.
The Rock is funny. Oh,
Vince Vaughn?
Yeah. I think Vince Vaughn is hilarious in that movie.
Samantha Mumba's manager or something like that. Yeah. I think Samantha Mumba, isn't it? Or not
he's
her.
So yeah. Gangster. It's hilarious.
Yeah, he's
he has
funny.
Like that huge like bubble jacket. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Good pick. Good pick there. Jenny?
Oh, sorry.
You're like, duh.
Okay, so I went different than Western for my fourth too. For my number four, I did Catch Me If You Can. Leo DiCaprio.
Definitely an outlaw.
Yes.
Yeah, that one I did as a character, but I like the movie as well.
Yeah.
But I originally did as a character.
Yeah, that's a definite honorable mention. It was tough. I was just like, I don't know.
See, I'm saving that for maybe a con movie. So
yeah, we should do con movies.
Con movies, westerns, like the weird overlapping outlaw genre.
You had a, you know, tread lightly.
Gangsters.
Yeah.
Which we haven't done yet either.
Yeah. I really like this movie.
Yeah, I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I'm a big fan of like the con man movie, mm-hmm. and this is really well done. And I'm a big fan of DiCaprio and
everybody. DiCaprio, Tom Hanks, Christopher Walken.
Yeah,
just
that's
steals
a the that's a it the most the saddest scene in this is when like, and it's even in the special features of the DVD where he's telling him like kind of breaks down. He's telling him like that the mom left.
Mm-hmm.
DiCaprio takes him out and tells him, "Hey, I'm a pilot. We're gonna take the family to to Hawaii for Christmas." And Chris Walken starts talking, and he kind of like breaks down. And then in the special features, you see that like DiCaprio doesn't know what's going on. Like Spielberg is like, "Cut," and he's like, "That was it." And like Chris Walken's still all emotional, and DiCaprio's like just sitting there like, what the fuck happened, dude? He wasn't supposed to cry in the scene. And he's like, I thought it was really, really amazing performances. There's a ton of people in this movie that are great. Martin Sheen's in this.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Adams. One of her big like breakthrough roles, I think. Yeah. Was this,
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah. Her scene with the check.
Yeah.
Really funny.
I think it was in the trailer, the scene where he says he wants to take her out for a steak dinner, and just that laugh that she does.
Yeah.
I fell in love with Elizabeth Banks right then. I was like, she's whatever she's in, I will see, because she's great.
Yeah. And then, every scene, like, and it's funny because I had read the book and I really enjoyed a lot of the, like, just seeing them come to life. The scenes that I read in the book was like, oh, wow, like when he tricks the hooker into paying him for sex.
Oh, yeah.
So really good pick, damn you.
The book, excuse me. The book is good too.
Yeah, the book is really good and it's really long.
Is it close to the movie?
Yeah, I mean, and they only took snippets of it. Like, I'd say they only used about a quarter of the stuff he really did. Like, he did a lot of crap. Like, I think he left when he was like 15. He ran away.
Yeah,
yeah.
And literally, like, he did a bunch of stuff, like, and stuff that like kind of failed, and he got caught a couple times as a young kid. And then he kind of mastered
it. Is the book his, like, him telling the story?
Yeah.
Or is it someone else?
It's him. It's him, yeah.
Okay.
No,
that's cool.
He's like a millionaire right now. Like, because he literally, like, the...
Because he invented, like, the whole...
Watermarks.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's
stopping
right.
Check fraud.
Yeah, yeah, like, a lot of
and we did mention that Tom Hanks is amazing in this movie, too, right?
Yes.
Completely forgot about
him. As Carl Hanratty.
Yeah.
Just when he tells that knock-knock joke. Yeah. Knock-knock. His accent. I love him in this.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff like that we use now, like security stuff,
mm-hmm.
like for your credit cards or checks, IDs. He's the guy that thought of the holograms. That's him too.
Yeah, so, he's still around.
Yeah, he's still around, making millions and millions of dollars on stuff that he probably would have stolen. but yeah, good pick. My number four is from 1988, and it's Young Guns 1.
Yep.
The only reason I like Young Guns 1 is because I remember watching this in theaters. I was really young, but I remember watching this and being like, I love this movie. Like, man, like, look at Emilio Estevez. Just badass. And I'm like, I want cowboy boots. And I'm like, I wouldn't look cool in cowboy boots nowadays. but yeah, it's just such a cool movie, and it's got, you know, both.
Cowboy boots and a bowler hat.
Yes. It's got a lot of characters that didn't make it to the sequel that I really enjoyed. Like, what's his name?
Cover your ears, Jenny.
What's that?
he's saying the characters. You're saying the characters.
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't spoil it.
The peyote scene.
I'm that person awesome. That you guys are yelling at. That's like, yeah. Why haven't you seen it yet? Just get off the podcast and go watch it now. I'm that person right now.
Yeah,
that.
Go.
So,
just we yell at you. We'll
you never
recording.
Say that, really.
I say you're useless, but I don't yell at you. I say it in a regular tone. The peyote scene is one of my favorites.
It's so good.
Just the stuff they say. Like, he's like, why are they killing us, Chavez? He's like, because you're in the spirit world, asshole. I love that movie. It just, like, the stuff they're saying, like...
They all sound like Ted Levine.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like, he's the size of that chicken. I say that all the time still. Like, when you eat chicken, I'm like, did you see the size of that chicken? There's a lot of cool stuff. Palance is in it. Jack Palance is the villain. I love him in it. There's so many.
So wait, why are there cars in it? If it's supposed to be Western,
it's the sequel. That's the second one.
Oh, okay.
That's a really good device. And it's not spoiling anything. In the sequel, how it starts off is, it's in modern. I mean, considerably modern times,
like the 40s. Yeah.
And this guy driving his car. It's a reporter, and he's about to meet this guy who claims he's Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
And this actually really happened. The guy came out and said, "I'm Billy the Kid." And so,
he wanted his pardon that he was promised.
But the first one happens before.
Yeah, the first one is just
like a long time ago.
Yeah, well, the first one's straight up Western.
And it's kind of how like Billy came to be.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is when they're older.
And
young guys too.
Yeah, it's kind of like another story, like later in his life. But really, you don't have to watch one to get two. Like if you just start with two, it's a good story unto itself because it doesn't.
Or I could watch them in order.
You should definitely watch one.
I feel like growing up, I saw two before I saw one. Or maybe I had seen part of one. And I just didn't, like, I didn't put the
I
two
think
together.
I had seen two
some,
first.
Some movies really good work well as prequels. Like, if you just watch two first, and you're like, oh, now I'm going to watch the prequel. And then it feels, because it just works, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Dark Knight and Batman Begins works well that way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch Dark Knight, you're like, I'm going to go see the prequel. But yeah, I love this movie. I love all the actors. Charlie Sheen's in it. Love him.
Terrence Stamp.
Yes. Badass. And then, was it Terry O'Quinn?
Terry O'Quinn, yeah.
Locke. All right, that's my number four.
Okay. So I'm sticking with Westerns pretty much from all my lists. So my number four is from 2005, and it's from the writer and director of Lawless. It's The Proposition.
Ooh, excellent.
I saw this movie, I think, like 6 times in theaters.
Wow.
I loved it. Every time I would watch it. So the first time I really liked it, and then I was like, okay, I have to get other people to see it, take them to see it, liked it even more. I just liked it more and more and more every time I watched it, and I would start picking up little things that they were doing symbolism wise and I was like, oh wow, I didn't realize that the first time I saw it. And then I would just pick up so many things, and I love it. I love the music. I love the performances. I love the story.
Yes.
I love the atmosphere. John Hillcoat does a great job of setting up such a really good atmosphere for the film.
He makes Australia look like the most uninviting place in the entire
universe. Exactly. I mean, that scene with all the, where they're beating the kid and he just shows all the flies just sitting on it. Ugh. It really just paints that picture. You're like, I never want to go travel back in time and go to Australia in the West.
Well, if it's like, okay, I understand why this was a prison colony.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name? Houston.
Danny Houston is terrible. He's scary because you just don't know what he's going to do, and he's very nuts.
Yeah. I think he's really like an underrated actor. I don't think he's used enough. Especially his villains.
So,
like,
he really isn't.
This and like 40 Days of Night.
Yeah.
When he learned that the crazy dialect, because he didn't have to learn that. He just made it up. But anyway, this movie is really cool, and I wanted to save it for Westerns. But
I've got so many Westerns. I was like, when I was making this, I'll be fine when we do a Western choice.
Yeah, I'm sure I am too.
Ray Winstone.
Yes.
Another like just terrific performance, just trying to be that husband also while trying to have rule and run this town while meanwhile kind of having to cross the limit sometimes, but trying to keep his wife away from that and really struggling to keep her out of seeing how bad it is out there. He's terrific.
Yeah. I dig.
I just want to watch it right now. I mean, just from the first opening scene, I was like, what is this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, like I said, the Nick Cave score, it just really enhances some of those scenes. He does such a terrific job in creating these like poetic music to add to the scenes.
Great driving music, especially when you're going to Palm Springs or something.
Yeah.
You're driving through the desert, but it also is like, all right, I hope I don't break down.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he took 10 days to do the score.
That's it?
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, everybody was pretty astonished by that. But yeah. Warren Ellis, I love too. I mean, because I'm a big fan of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Yeah.
Yes. And I, another score that I love of his is the Assassination of Jesse James score.
Jesus.
I think that's a better score, but yeah. It's so different and so like poetic. And
yeah. I mean, it's for that, specifically for that movie. Yeah. It's just, it's pure, it's poetry.
Yeah. Good pick. Number three for you?
My number three.
Yes.
Okay. So my number three, I guess, well, my number three is from 1993, so, and it's kind of in honor of someone who just passed recently, True Romance.
Yes.
Tony Scott directed this based on a Quentin Tarantino script, and I saw this movie way too young. I was 10 when it came out, and I saw it in theaters, and I loved it. And it reminded me of another movie a lot, which I may or may not talk about later, which I also saw way too young, because I was 10 years old, and I should not have made the connection between these two movies that I did. Like, it was just, it's a weird thing for a 10-year-old to be like, oh, yeah, that reminds me of this other really dark movie about an outlaw.
That's funny.
And I love it. It's great. Definitely another movie chock full of outlaws, beginning outlaws and veteran outlaws, and it's just so much fun. Christian Slater again as Clarence Worley.
There's so many good actors in this, and so many good performances.
So many. And they're all, I think 99% of the people in this movie are playing an outlaw. Gary Oldman is the drug dealing pimp, Drexel, who thinks he's black, and it's an amazing
performance.
Let's see, who else we got? Oh, okay, Christopher Walken. The Christopher Walken. Yes.
Notorious Christopher. Have you seen this, Jenny? True Romance?
No, I want to really bad. It's not on Netflix. I need to find a DVD copy.
I have it.
It's really good.
Okay. Yeah, after, especially after
22 Out.
Yeah,
Tony Scott died. Passing.
Everyone on Twitter, that was everyone's favorite movie.
Really?
Like all the famous quote unquote people, like Damon Lindelof, all those people, they're like, the most underrated Tony Scott film is.
Well, it's just.
I think it's the one called Days of Thunder.
Well, we know why that's your favorite. Yeah. I mean, you've got a bunch of cars sitting behind you right now.
Well, I thought it was Tom Cruise and a car.
Yeah.
Well, that as well.
It's that sex scene with a blue silhouette.
But True Romance, it is. It's just badass, crazy. Like the perfect. I think Tony Scott directing Quentin Tarantino is probably the best person besides Quentin Tarantino to direct Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's like they just went together so well, and they brought that kinetic energy to life so perfectly. And then just with the cast, like again, that scene between Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken is amazing and could probably make me tear up a little bit.
Oh, definitely. I think if actors out there, that should be something that they like study, because it's really something just you can learn from that scene, just seeing these two experienced actors.
And also, I'm not spoiling for Jenny. Remember, don't spoil anything for Jenny, but
sorry.
But no, it's fine. But like just the fact that like that scene could have played really heavy with like Christopher Walken, like playing played really heavy on on who he is.
Yeah.
But it's very like lighthearted, and it's even scarier because you're like, we know who you are, and it's scarier that you're really calm. It's scary.
Yeah.
Who
Saul Rubinek is great as a producer.
Yeah.
Just again, another movie dealing a lot with Hollywood.
Brad Pitt, great
as the stoner.
Yeah.
What, Lloyd?
Yeah. Lloyd? He's a condescending.
Michael Rapaport's roommate.
Yeah.
Just so many great people. Bronson Pinchot is great.
Yeah.
Patricia Arquette. Who else?
Balky, you mean?
Yes, Balky.
Balky.
Val Kilmer's Elvis.
Yes.
Yes.
There's just so many cool things in this movie that I feel like, yeah.
Do we mention James Gandolfini again?
Yes.
James Gandolfini.
Yeah.
He scared me in this movie. Terrified me.
Yeah.
His scene.
I think that's why Brad Pitt's scene with him works so well, is because you know how scary he is.
Oh, yeah.
And then when, when Brad Pitt's talking to him, you're like, dude, this guy's going to die.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, man. And then when he leaves and he's like, talk to me, you condescending. it's really funny scene.
Yeah, it's just a great, fun, dark movie, and I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, I love it. Agreed.
I would say this was one of the films that I, being a sap sometimes, just the love, it's such a unique love story that I just responded to it so well, just their connection, and yeah. It's something that I was just responded to. So.
It's funny because did you listen to the whole podcast?
Oh, I haven't listened to it yet.
Okay. Tarantino just recently had a talk about this movie. It was a Tony Scott tribute, and it's online. You could find it. And he talked about how he'd love that he didn't direct this movie because it's a timestamp of somebody I thought I was. Because he's like, at that time when I wrote that movie, I had never had a girlfriend before. And it was my romantic version of what, you know what I mean, having a girlfriend was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm glad someone directed it because it's like not only like, it's like a little like snapshot of what I felt like love was.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, you know, he's like, I'm not that person anymore. But it's good to know that someone did that. And yeah, so it's really cool the way he talked about that movie. Should definitely try to find it. I think it's, we could try to put a link on it our website.
To the other podcast?
Yeah, to the other definitely. Podcast. Yeah, because it's a really good podcast. It's him and Tarantino and Richard Kelly talking about Domino and True Romance. So if you haven't seen it, don't watch it because they spoil a lot of things. So don't watch it, Jenny.
Okay, I'll go watch the movies first.
Yes.
There you go.
All right, where are we at? Three?
Okay, so my number three is, I feel like we've talked about it a lot, but I don't care because it's fucking awesome. It's from 2005, and it's Serenity.
Awesome. I dig it.
Yes, I love Nathan Fillion. It was originally for just Nathan Fillion's character, but the movie in general is awesome. It's kind of Western.
Yeah.
But kind of sci-fi, too, but... It's got that outlaw feel because very Nathan much. Fillion
yeah.
is an outlaw.
Honorable mention.
Yeah, it's great. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't watched the show either, then go watch it. Yeah. I think they're still on Netflix, probably.
Yeah, and they're smugglers, definitely outlaws. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I watched the movie first, and then I watched the show, and I enjoyed that. Because, again, it was like a prequel. Like,
yeah, I kind of wish I'd done that, yeah. but I watched the movie after. But, I mean, it's good either way.
So you finally watched the movie?
Yeah.
You liked
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's really cool, right?
Yeah,
it's
I mean, it fits fun. With the show perfectly.
It feels like it's the second season.
It just feels yeah. like the show.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. But the whole cast is great. The cinematography, I like. The theme song, I like. There's very little I don't like about this.
I went into this movie blind. Like, it came out. I had just moved to Long Beach, and it just came out. And we were like, well, let's just go see this movie. And we hadn't watched the show, so I knew nothing about it. I hadn't even seen the trailer. And I was just blown away. I loved it. I didn't know about the Reavers. I liked that scary element to it. And then, like, realizing it was Joss Whedon, I was like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. this is amazing. I had a great time. Yeah. It was a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So far, Joss Whedon's has a good track record.
For movies, he's 2 for 2?
Yeah, technically, he should have had a sophomore slump with Avengers, but didn't, so...
Well, how well did Serenity do in theaters, though?
It didn't do well.
So then it would be.
It did well enough where they contemplated doing a sequel. It barely made like. Cause it was.
I don't even think it made its money back domestically.
Wow. It was only made for like 30 something thousand. Yeah. That would have been cheap.
That's the best $30,000 movie I've ever seen.
Like 36 or 37 million. But yeah. Good pick. And
yeah.
You could put this in so many categories.
Oh, yeah. So, for sure.
Yeah. My number two, I've talked about this movie a lot. It actually goes with...
Wait, we're on your number three.
My number three. It goes...
Actually, no.
I started.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. My number three goes with your number three. Because I feel like it's like your True Romance is a modern telling of this story.
I think you're about to step on my toes.
Really? I can move it to number two if you want to talk about it.
No, do it. Well, because then if you do this, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to remake my list here. So okay. Because
all right.
There's so many.
We're talking about movies. Badlands.
Yep.
Okay.
As soon as you were saying this made me think of another movie, I was like, wait, is it probably one of the movies that was on Ricardo's top five?
Yeah. this is a movie that's on my top five of all time. And I love Badlands. And it is kind of, I've always saw it, because I think I saw Badlands first.
I did. I was way too young. It was on like AMC back before AMC showed commercials when it was just a straight movie. And I remember... just being mystified by Martin Sheen in the middle of this, the field.
Yes.
Just kind of on his own, and Terrence Malicki.
Yes.
And his stillness.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is something I couldn't look away. And then when I saw True Romance, not that much later, I was, oh, this is
the exact same movie. It's
the exact same movie, but on coke.
Yes. But directed by Tony Scott.
Yeah.
Well, I figured that. I mean, it was implicit.
Yeah. Jenny, you haven't seen either of this?
No.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's interesting to see. Like, what should she watch first?
Okay, that should be watch them in order.
Yeah.
Like, that's a movie.
Definitely watch Badlands first.
Badlands and True Romance double feature. We need to do that.
I was gonna do this Monday. I was gonna do True Romance something else, but I'm gonna save that for Badlands True Romance double feature.
I like that.
I'm not gonna be here, so don't do it Monday.
Yes, I'm gonna do two other Tony Scott movies. So yeah, I really love this movie. Kit is, of course, well, Kit and what's her name? Who am I thinking of?
The girl? Character Sissy yes. Spacek. Sissy I don't remember the character's name.
Her name was
Holly.
Yeah, and they become a couple of outlaws. But
I mean, if you don't know, it's about the Starkweather killings. It's like based on a true story.
Yeah.
This guy really went on a killing spree through the Badlands of Montana.
The Dakotas, no, isn't it?
The Dakotas, the Dakotas.
Yeah.
And it's just, but it's just, well, it's Terrence Malick, so it's just very poetic.
Yes.
Dark serial killer story.
I feel
that
like
also has a whimsical romance to it because it's Kit and Holly.
Yeah.
On this like sort of, it's kind of like they're eloping.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's just, I feel like we could just do a podcast about Badlands.
We could.
Because there's so much going on in this movie.
Yeah. I wouldn't even go any further just because I think we should. Yeah, we should dedicate one of these days just an hour of Terrence Malick.
One day I was like flipping through channels and I came across like these interviews with, I don't know if they were just talking about Terrence Malick, but it was really just Sissy Spacek and Martin Sheen talking about this movie.
Oh, really?
And talking about the acting process and working with Terrence Malick and how they loved it and how Terrence works with them because he's not in it and he doesn't really do interviews. So it's always cool to hear the actors talking about working with him and kind of like his process and how he does things and how he just kind of just talks to him a little bit and lets them almost in a way do their thing and kind of helps them reach the character and find the emotions of the character. But it was really cool. And I don't know if it's on, I don't think it's on any DVDs or anything like that, but I forgot how I came across it, but
I've also heard the flip side of that. I've heard like Christopher Plummer talk about how he'll never work with him again.
Yeah.
But yeah. And Clooney too. But yeah.
Or like Christian Bale, who loved it because then he could just
do whatever he wants.
He would just let the camera be move with you and he could just decide to take a right and watch all the crew have to run to the opposite side because he was just like, I'm going to go right now as the camera's following me.
Oh, well, I'm so curious to see.
That seems like the antithesis of Christian Bale on the set of Terminator Salvation.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel it's funny. I'm so looking forward to the new Terrence Malick movie with
the one that Rachel Weisz was cut out of.
No, there's another one.
Oh, the one with Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
No,
that's the same one.
Oh, are you talking about King of Cups?
Okay. The one that Rachel Weisz got cut out of is the Ben Affleck one.
Oh, okay.
So you're talking about the one with Christian Bale and Mila Kunis?
No.
Christian Bale and
the Queen Amidala. Damn, what's your name?
Natalie Portman.
That's, I think it's King of Cups, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. And like I was watching like the behind the scenes coverage of it, and like it's literally like Lubezki, the cinematographer, turns out like another person like doing sound, and they were like in this remote beach, and it's like footage of them, and Christian Bale had to do Natalie Portman's hair, like he was like combing it like. Because there was nobody there to do makeup or anything, and he's like combing her hair and like fixing it, and then she turns around and kind of like
that sounds amazing.
Yeah,
right?
Like, that is awesome.
Yeah, and then like she turns around and like she's like kind of fixing his hair because it's kind of windy, so in between takes, and he's like, all right, and they look just like, all right, let's do it, and it's so cool because I'm like, that's really cool that it's just like it feels so like independent and so intimate too, like because clearly it's like a love scene,
mm-hmm.
not where they're, you know, having sex, but I'm meaning like they're, it's a romance scene.
Yeah.
Sorry. And, it's really cool to just see how like small, like such
very
a small
simple.
Crew, it's simple and, intimate. Yeah. So I'm definitely pumped for that. And that is my number
three.
Okay, my number three, as soon as you guys texted me saying, well, why don't we do outlaw movies, the movie with Outlaw in the title, the Outlaw Jersey Whale, you know, like Texas, popped in my head.
Yeah. I was going to say Texas Rangers.
The Texas Rangers. That was the second one. I was like, maybe Texas Rangers as well. but the Outlaw Jersey Whales. This was from 1976. It was actually probably the first Clint Eastwood Western I'd ever seen when I was younger. I didn't see The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. I didn't see Pale Rider, High Plains Drifter. This was the first, and it's probably my second favorite of the ones that he's directed, behind Unforgiven. But I love this movie. I can still rewatch this movie. I just love the character and how they developed this character. And I mean, the opening is just the one thing I love about this movie is how harsh he paints the West.
Yeah.
It is brutal, and people, especially men, are awful in this movie, and they're just savage. And the way they just treat people who are weaker, it's awful. And I mean, the way the movie opens up with what they do to his family and how he just becomes this man who just bent on killing and kind of becomes perfect and good at just killing people is great. The acting's great. I love the stuff. I love the humor that when they bring in the chief.
Yes.
And I love the scenes with the chief and Josie and the young Indian squaw. I love all that stuff.
Yeah. I just recently watched this.
Only an Indian could do that.
Yeah.
And then Clint Eastwood says, that's what I was thinking. And he looks behind him. Yes. The other Indian stuck up on him.
I love it. Yeah, that scene is great.
This is a movie that I just recently rewatched because it was like on AMC or something. And it's so good. And I think, isn't Chris Penn in this? If I'm not mistaken.
No, that's Pale Rider.
Pale Rider, that's right.
John Vernon's in this and he's great. I love
so good
their interaction. Just them in a movie together like this and Dirty Harry.
Yeah. I feel like there's, besides like some of the recent Clint Eastwood movies, there's no like 90 something back, everything is like just genius. You're like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
This guy was on a roll, man. But yeah.
Well, I think he learned so much working with Sergio Leone.
Oh, yeah.
For when it came to Westerns.
And also he learned.
And what's the guy who did Dirty Harry?
Yeah.
Yes. What's his name? Because one of the documentaries, he talked about how that was another like great influence on him as a director and stuff. But yeah, I feel like he learned the good habits that Leone had, and then dropped some of the stuff that he didn't care for. And I understand like some of Leone stuff, the reason I like it is because it's very still.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like slow and like. And I mean, that's just sometimes how life is. It's kind of boring and slow. And I feel like Clint Eastwood knows how to cut the fat out of that and just be like, okay, I can make it shorter than 3 hours.
Don Siegel. That's true. I was doubting myself. Like, I wanted to say Don Siegel, but I felt like it was a different, but Don Siegel directed Dirty Harry and who has a cameo as the bartender in Play Misty for Me.
Yes.
And they work together a lot.
Yeah.
But,
good pick. Damn you. Good pick. Adam.
Okay, so after some rearranging I'm just going to give Badlands to Ricardo.
Yeah.
I do love that movie, though. So my number two now is going to be from 1967, and that's Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, that's my number one.
I thought you almost stepped on my toes, but you didn't. We're good. This is where I fell in love with Warren Beatty, how badass he is.
Yes.
I feel like I didn't see it till I was
older.
So I already liked Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty's just really likable. I mean, there's a reason he's Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
He's a very likable, charming leading man.
It pisses me off that he's not making movies still. It upsets me to no end. I did love Bulworth.
I loved Bulworth. He's great.
Yeah. I would have. Part of me does wish we could have seen Kill Bill with him in it. That's the original.
That would have been interesting.
That would have been really interesting.
That was the original Bill he wanted. So, but Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Just the way it starts off.
It's so, the way it's, they act, it's written, it's directed. Arthur, the way, it's great. I mean, it just sucks you right in. It sucks you right into those characters. It sucks you right into their relationship. And it's a great start to the movie. And you're just like, I want to go on this ride.
Yeah. Well, then just getting older and studying more and more about film and reading more and more about film, and Bonnie and Clyde just comes up so much.
Yeah.
Just camera work, editing, just the way, the changing the scene of like being it was 1967, but this is like the movie that they say this and Easy Rider just like kind of were the beginning of this new wave of the 70s cinema.
Yeah.
Like if it wasn't for this movie, we wouldn't have got Easy Rider and we wouldn't have got Godfather. We wouldn't have got all these other darker movies that people didn't necessarily know that the studios didn't necessarily realize people were ready for.
Yeah.
Because it's a very dark movie. And I mean, just what the tagline is, they're young, they're in love, and they kill people.
Yes. Yeah.
And when they first decide that they're going to rob banks, like, we rob banks. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah. And Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman's great.
Michael J. Pollard, because I could see most actors playing C.W. Moss as like an idiot, but he just plays, he doesn't play him as an idiot. He's not a stupid guy. Yeah. He just plays them as simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's wonderful.
Gene Wilder's scene as the Undertaker.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I feel like it's funny. I was just talking to somebody about how I feel like there's like a renaissance of that, especially with all the Megan Ellison films that she's producing. Have I talked about Megan Ellison?
Yeah.
And how like all the movies she's like getting behind. And yes, she's pretty amazing. She like just like the so her the movies that she's produced in the last, like, this last year that are coming out. Lawless, one of them. The Master. And Killing Them Softly. So I feel like she's kind of, like spearheading this, like, renaissance of, like, 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because she's outside the studio system. And all these movies, like, were in the studio system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surprising. But she's kind of, like, bringing that back. And I'm excited somebody's doing
movies. And it seems like she's finding filmmakers that she likes, good filmmakers, and backing them. Because she also did There Will Be Blood, didn't she?
I don't think
she... Or was it because of There Will Be Blood that she
said? I think because of There Will Be Blood she's doing The Master, yeah.
I forgot what movie I was talking about. Oh, Bonnie and Clyde. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then this movie, for a while, I thought my list was just going to be movies about outlaw couples because I had this, I had Badlands, and I had True Romance. I'm like, I was just going to kind of go with that for a theme and try to get away from it. But again, just the relationship
Thelma
between...
Thelma and Louise could have done?
Oh, we could have done Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
Damn it. I'm not going to lie, though. I've really only seen Thelma and Louise twice. Okay. I enjoyed it both times, but I don't have a vivid memory of that movie.
Okay.
But Bonnie and Clyde, just when they first meet... In the scene where, like, she doesn't believe him and he just goes in and robs the place.
Yeah.
And then we're off.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're off and running.
Yeah, and I
and
love...
the final scene. Just the editing of that final scene. And just, it's heartbreaking, even though they are these violent, murdering criminals.
One of my favorite things in that final scene is just the looks that they give each other.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It was just right for that scene. And it's kind of, they know it's about to happen. And they kind of just accept it. And it's so
and
good.
And just the riddled with gunshots the way that they are. Just the ridiculous. Oh, it's gloriously violent.
It really is gloriously violent.
And I can't help but love it.
Yeah, I dig it. I'm behind you on that. Excellent. Jenny?
We're on number two?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so one of my favorite outlaw criminal characters ever is Robin Hood. And so I had to pick which Robin Hood I actually liked the most.
Yeah.
And I went with...
The animated cartoon?
No, I went with...
Hey, that's my favorite.
I know, I love that one. One of my favorites from childhood, but not the cartoon version, Men in Tights.
Nice.
So Carrie, I can never say his last name. Carrie Yoles?
Kells?
Or Carrie Ells?
Oles? Oles? That one? Yeah, I like that. This one's more for the character. I like the movie a lot, but I don't know if it still holds up. I haven't seen it in a really long time, so I don't know if it's still funny to me.
I feel like it. It is, especially, I mean, I appreciate it more as I see more, because I haven't seen all the Robin Hood movies, but as I see more Robin Hood movies, I appreciate Men in Tights even more.
I know, because there's very few Robin Hood movies that I get behind anymore.
If there's ever been a moment where I might get hate mail, this is probably one of them. I'm really not a big fan of the Errol Flynn Adventures of Robin Hood. I just saw it recently, and I was like, I don't get it. I don't get what the big deal is.
Yeah.
It's not... Yeah. I like the Disney Robin Hood.
He's such an interesting character. Robin Hood in general is such an interesting character, and you can do so much with him, and they just
he's
a fascinating character,
But in watching the Errol Flynn version, I start thinking about, like, well, I mean, he's really just helping the crown. I mean, he's not necessarily... I'm just thinking about it from, like, an economic and, like, like the people versus the state kind of way. I was like, well, he's just helping the king, so he's not really for the people. He's for the crown. So is he really a hero? I don't know.
Yeah.
And just when I was realizing, I was finally thinking about that, I was like, I'm not into this movie as I am.
I'm thinking too much
the
about
the cartoon
this.
Version.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Robin and Marian, even. Robin and Marian with Sean Connery playing Robin Hood.
Oh, okay.
And
I
Audrey Hepburn
one.
Playing Marian. Oh, this is really great. And it's when they're older and, like, he comes back and she's become a nun. And it's just, it's great fun. It's, you should check that one out.
Yeah,
No, Robin and the Seven Hoods.
Robin and the Seven Hoods. I do like Robin. I like Robin Hood and the Seven Hoods better than Guys and Dolls.
It's funny. I always shit on musicals, but I do love me some Robin and the Seven Hoods.
What makes that movie for me, though, is Peter Falk, is Guy Gisborne.
Yes. Yeah.
He's great.
But yeah, this is, I haven't seen it recently, so.
I feel like it probably holds up better than, like, Spaceballs.
I've seen Spaceballs recently, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I've seen Spaceballs recently.
Yeah.
I love them both. I love Spaceballs and Men in Tights.
Yeah.
They were my go-to, like, comfort movies when I was growing up.
You're like, I'm sick. I'm going to watch.
I love Men in Tights. Like, if I'm sad or anything, they're both so funny.
I was more of a Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein.
My favorite
I was like the generation right after that because I didn't watch Blazing Saddles until I got older.
I'm a Young Frankenstein all the way.
Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I
still haven't seen Young
That was the one I had on VHS that I wore out.
Yes. It was colorized.
No, that one wasn't colorized.
Your dad didn't record that one?
No.
But yeah, that's a good pick. I was sure somebody was going to pick a Robin Hood movie. I just wasn't sure who was it.
I went with the comedy.
Yeah.
I almost went with Prince of Thieves, but I decided no.
Yeah. All right. We get two?
Yes.
My number two, I picked a movie from 2001 from director Ted Demme, and I picked Blow.
Oh, okay.
Good nice. Pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it's a true life story of notorious outlaw George Young.
So. See, this is the movie when we were talking about Scarface, and I was going through my mind like movies about drug dealers where this is the movie I think of because I like this character.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm with him, I'm relating to him, I'm rooting for him more than I'm rooting for Tony Montana.
I agree.
Because I see the humanity and like he's just he's kind of a Walter White to me where he's just he's doing it to help his family at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This movie has some really great memorable scenes. Paul Rubens is amazing in this. Just like Jordy Molina playing like his kind of like partner. And like, there's so many great, great, actors in this. Ray Liotta plays his dad.
The scene with Bobcat where they're testing the purity of the Coke.
Yeah.
And it keeps going up and I'm just like, I can't feel my face.
is it good? He's like, I can't feel my face. one of my favorite scenes is a scene with a character actor who's like in everything, and you've seen him in like a bunch of movies, but he so disappears into every character he plays. And the actor's his name is Cliff Curtis, and he plays Pablo Escobar in this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's played terrorists. He plays. If you watch Training Day, he plays. Like this Hispanic cholo, and it's very believable. Like he's got like some mannerisms that like you see people in the streets and you're like, fuck, I've seen that guy. And as Pablo Escobar, he's amazing. And yeah, this guy, that's one of the scenes that really stands out where they're like, they're walking and in the background they execute a guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
I like it when he plays a good guy.
Yes.
Like, what was he? He was in that TV show about the emergency rescue workers.
Yes.
And really the only reason I watched that show is because he was in it.
Yeah.
I like him in Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sunshine is really good. And I like him in Live Free or Die Hard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
True. Yeah.
True. But yeah. So that is my number two. And it just has some good music. Just in general.
It's a great soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a really good soundtrack.
Whenever I hear Black Betty, I think of Blow.
Yes. 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 Like you're like, yeah, I want to wear some bell bottoms. I'm like, do some cocaine.
Walk to an airport.
Yeah.
I would say this is the one movie when I watched when I was younger, and until it gets to the end, it was. I mean, where people talk about like how Scarface glorifies like selling drugs and that American dream. This movie actually made me go, you know, maybe if I tried, I could do that.
Yeah.
Is this? Am I nuts or? Oh no, I confirmed it. I'm not nuts. The little girl plays his daughter. in the movie is Emma Roberts.
What?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I remember.
Wow.
I remember thinking, like, wow, Emma Roberts looks familiar. She looks like the girl from Blow. And then I'm like, oh, I just realized it right now. I'm looking. But yeah, it's such so many cool scenes, and that was this was Ted Demi's last movie before he passed away. Coincidentally, he died from cocaine overdose.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, and Ted Demi is Jonathan Demi's brother, right? Or are they nephew and uncle?
I think it's nephew. I think he's a nephew.
Yeah, I think you might be right. But yeah, that is my number two, Kevin. What is your number two? Okay.
My number two, we mentioned earlier the score. It's from 2007, and it's The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
I'm glad
that's
you read it.
That's my number one.
You finally saw it.
I've watched it before.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Plus, I watched it with you.
One day where you were like, you have to watch this movie, and you put it on, and we watched it.
Yeah.
Because but it was the one day you kept talking about the score and the cinematography, because at the end of the movie, Jenny kept saying, all you talked about was the score and cinematography, like, throughout the movie.
Not about how great the performances are. Yeah. Well, how awesome Casey Affleck is.
Yeah. Oh. Well, see, the thing is, like, that, like, it's funny, I saw this... I don't know how long the theatrical version is, but I saw this in a special screening, and it was like 4.5 hours. I'm not fucking shitting with you. 4.5 hours. And I was like, and they're like, what would you cut? I'm like, fucking nothing. What are you talking about? It's amazing. And then the theatrical version had a lot of stuff cut out of it. So, but yeah, I love both.
Did you
versions.
Still like, you still like,
yeah,
it
I still love it. It's a great poetic Western.
It is.
With amazing performances.
Such a great cast.
Yeah,
such a
everybody
great cast.
Is perfect.
God, I mean,
yeah. It's just filled with people.
I've such great performances that I feel
you can't sing stuff.
Everyone is delivering so much with just their physicality and their expressions. Like you could watch the silent version of this movie. Just take, turn off the audio, just play the soundtrack, and you get it.
I think I'm going to do that. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
Or just play the score. No dialogue.
No dialogue, just the score and the visuals, and it probably...
I would probably just start crying.
Yeah. just the last scene, man, it gets me every time. I'm like, no.
And
I'm
the
like,
way that... Just every actor plays their part in that scene, and just the way that Brad plays that, where he stands up on the chair and he's adjusted...
He looks dusty.
Yeah.
Damn it. God, okay, I hate to say this, but now I'm just thinking about the Yogi Bear. <Me too. parody>.
Okay, if you've seen The Assassination of Jesse James, go ahead and type in was it Yogi Bear the movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yogi Bear the movie,
like
alternate
ending.
And it's Yogi Bear the movie, the live action movie they made, but with an alternate ending that's very much like...
Yeah, you showed this to me right after we watched it. You won't remember any of this.
I remember that. I remember when I watched the Yogi Bear thing. It was... I'm so emotionally...
You're tearing up.
Yeah, I was tearing up. I was like, no. Don't do it, Yogi. Don't look up. It's like, this movie looks dusty.
Well, I mean, the animators did such a good job of expressing the emotion through animated characters' eyes that it's just, it's very similar to that scene in the movie.
And then Boo Boo, like, he's looking, he's teary-eyed, and then he looks at the poster, the wanted poster, and then, oh, man, yeah.
Oh, Boo Boo.
But yeah, this movie is definitely, like I said, like, watching the Yogi Bear thing got me really emotional from just, like, the... remembering the movie and like Sam Rockwell and everybody's so great, and that Jeremy Renner's in this, so many people
Garrett Dillahunt. So good.
Schneider's in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. Paul Schneider.
Paul Schneider.
What's his name?
Sam Shepard.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking of. Zoe the Chanel.
Mary Louise Parker.
Yes. Mm. There's so many. It's just packed with people. That you recognize and stuff. That's why I'm looking so forward to Killing Them Softly. Because I love this movie so much.
I'm on board with whatever Andrew Dominik does from here on out because of this movie. It's like, oh, he's going to make a movie where a guy is just sitting on a toilet taking shit. I'm sure it's going to be interesting.
Yes. I'll watch that for 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
As long as it's got a score by Nick Cave.
A great score. It's going to be shot.
It's going to be probably one of the best looking movies you'll ever see in your life. And
the scene where they're shooting it from inside the shower and it's just a silhouette on the toilet and the light coming through the window.
And you can see him just crying in his hands.
The veins popping out of his forehead.
And you just hear a little drip of water occasionally.
good number two.
The one thing I will say, the one test that I have for movies is, I was working at the ArcLight at the time when this came out, and all I remember is Ricardo just talking about this movie because he had seen it months before, and I had worked a long shift. I think I'd gotten out at like 9 o'clock, and there was a 10 o'clock showing. And a bunch of my coworkers were like, "You're going to go see this 3-hour-long movie that's supposed to be slow at this time of night, and you're probably exhausted." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm exhausted, but I really want to see this movie because my friend couldn't stop talking about it." So I went and saw it, and. Normally, I mean, I think I saw the remake of The Crappy Fly of the Phoenix at that time, and I fell asleep like 5 minutes in and woke up at the end of the movie. This movie, it's a slow-moving movie. It's 3 hours long, and I think I walked out of the movie energized. It's just that good. You're just so enveloped in the film.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Yeah, man, we should go watch
just that shot, the train shot.
Yeah.
Yep. Train coming through the shadows.
Yep.
Roger Deakins is...
He didn't do Killing Them Softly, so I'm curious to see how this guy does. But Killing Them Softly looks very like noir, which yeah, I'm on board.
Gritty, different gritty feel to it.
Yeah. So yeah, recap.
Alrighty. My recap for number 5, I had From Dusk Till Dawn. Number 4 was Get Shorty. Number 3 was True Romance. Number 2 was Bonnie and Clyde. And my number 1, this is really tough since I gave Ricardo Badlands. I feel like I've used this movie before, but what the hell? I'm going to go with Out of Sight.
Ooh.
Out of Sight?
I literally took it out of my list before we started, just because that's a good con movie, too.
Well, it's just heist. Yes, I mean, that's the thing. There's so
I
many
think
genres.
You both used it during heist films.
Yeah. There are so many genres that could apply. But just going to your... what you're looking for in these movies, where you're looking at the characters, just looking at the character.
Yeah.
Jack Foley is one of my favorite outlaw characters ever. Like if I wanted to be an outlaw, I'd want to be Jack Foley, except for the getting caught all the time.
This is the only movie that I like Jennifer Lopez in. And I don't want
like Selena?
No.
I don't
like Selena. I didn't like Selena when she was alive.
What about Anaconda? Whoa.
Okay, it's the second movie. There's snakes out there this big. I this movie's amazing. I love it.
What about what's that one that
Gigli
has the horse that gets cut up?
Oh, The Cell.
The Cell. Yeah. That's
a good
one.
Okay, sorry. Two movies.
Right. Anyways.
He was saying this is the only movie he likes Jennifer Lopez in.
Yeah.
He could like The Cell, just not like Jennifer Lopez in it.
You don't like her in it?
Not really. I could.
It's all about Vincent D'Onofrio.
It's
and
all
the
about
visuals.
The cinematography.
Yeah, it's the visuals.
Yeah.
That's the only movie of his that I like.
Tarzan Singh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I like all of them, but...
Yeah, because I like the visuals in The Fall.
Yeah. Even the visuals on, like, Immortals is really great. It's just, like, it's
ripped off of 300.
Because we saw Tarzan Singh do a Q&A, and he's like, I don't care about the story. I start off with visuals, and I'm like, well, that's what your story
obvious.
Is.
That's why.
Yeah, no, we knew that time. Already. You didn't need to tell us that. We have eyes.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love this movie.
So, again, with Outlaws, this is my second Elmore Leonard story.
Yep.
His was also Get Shorty. And it's just like there's so many Elmore Leonard adaptations, and then you get into the realm of I feel like I have to talk about my honorable mentions a little bit right here because it's just like, all right, so Elmore Leonard writing about outlaws in general is probably going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But then Elmore Leonard combined with Quentin Tarantino, because just both of them, you think about sort of the outlaw characters. And so Jackie Brown was really close, but I just feel like I know Out of Sight and Out of... I have that touchstone and Out of Sight of Jack Foley.
Yeah.
But Jackie Brown's a great movie, too.
Yeah.
And I do love it.
George Clooney plays such a good con man because he's likable. Like, con men are likable and they instantly make you feel comfortable. And he's that.
Yeah.
I feel like just from watching, like, people talk about him, like, he just feels like if you met him, you'd just become his best friend. You're like, I'll do it. What do you want me to get you a coffee? I'll go to Starbucks, run.
And it's so weird because it's like, the character, he's technically, he's just on that fine line because he's technically a bank robber, but he doesn't without using a gun. Like, he just cons you into giving your money to him.
Yeah.
And he's great. Bing Rames is great. Steven Soderbergh's directing is amazing. Jennifer Lopez is good. Cinematography. Yes. It's the editing again. I'm going to talk about this scene. I'm sure I talked about it last time.
the scene where they're talking and it's intercut with their sex scene.
Mm-hmm.
And just the still frames. I love it every time. It's a great movie.
I'm on board.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle.
Robert Brooks.
Steven Zahn.
Yeah.
Steven Zahn.
Yeah. Steven Zahn. What did I say?
You said Steven Zahn.
Steven Zahn.
I'm just Steve.
Yeah.
Steve Zahn.
And Albert Brooks, you mentioned.
I did mention Albert Brooks.
With the fake teeth and the
hair piece. The hair piece.
Yeah, he's great in that.
Isaiah Washington kind of scares me in this.
Yes, he does.
When they tussle.
Yeah. Good, number one. I'm glad somebody brought that up. Jenny, recap.
Okay, recap. 5 was Tombstone. 4 was Catch Me If You Can. 3 was Serenity. 2 was Robin Hood, Men in Tights. And my number one was Assassination of Jesse James.
Ooh.
What's the whole title? I don't ever remember.
The Assassination of Jesse James.
Told by
Come on, all together
something.
By the coward Robert Ford.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. my recap. My number 5 was Scarface. 4, Young Guns. 3, Badlands. 2, Blow. And my number 1 from 1967, Cool Hand Luke.
Yes.
I, as a teenager, and even still now, like, my list of all-time favorite movies has changed, but this is still always in, like, the top 10. I just love Paul Newman in general. But this movie itself, for the longest time, like, I even had a license plate that says nothing. Sometimes nothing can be a really cool hand. And I just thought that was, like, a great line. It's just, I don't know. And the movie's amazing. The cast. George Kennedy. What's his name? A really, really young Dennis Hopper is in this. And it's just such a good movie. If you haven't seen it, I don't even want to spoil it. Just the way it starts. And it's the parking meter, and it says expired.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, him just cutting the heads off the meters and taking the money. And just such a good movie. And, yeah. You really, really, like, don't – you really fall in love with his character. And you're like, oh, man, why can't they just let him go? He just bummed out, man.
It's a great movie.
It is.
Yeah. I would think I'm saving it for a different list.
Yeah.
But it is – every time I watch it, I love it even more.
Yeah.
Paul Newman is – he's just the man.
Yeah.
He really is.
He's the
essence of cool.
Yeah. I would say, like, a lot of people love, like, James Dean. And I'm like, no. There's two dudes. Paul Newman and what's his name?
Steve McQueen.
Yes. That's it. And
that's it. And no one else can be cool.
No one else.
They're too cool.
James
Dean. They use up all the cool.
They suck up all the cool. They suck up all the cool. So, yeah. But yeah, that's my number one.
This movie was really big with my mom and me. And I remember at one point she had as her like voicemail message, I believe what we have here is a failure to communicate. But so, like, just there were so many lines in that would just get repeated throughout, like, family gatherings and things like that. Shaking the bush, boss. Shaking the bush.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you read the book? Anyone else?
I haven't read the book. No.
Yeah.
But every time I do, like, we're, like, on a road trip or something, and I have to pee, like, out in the bush, I do that. Shaking the bush here, boss. We used to do that a lot as a teenager. But, yeah, there's so many memorable lines. The egg scene.
Scene is great.
It's genius. When he fights Dragline and, you know, that's amazing scene.
That scene is great. I mean, it really, it's very, just the character is very inspiring how he just keeps getting up.
Yeah. Lose your spoon, spending that in the box. So, yeah, I love this movie. Kevin, take us to your number one.
Okay, so recap. 5, I had Young Guns. 2, 4, The Proposition. 3, The Outlaw, Josie Wales. 2, The Assassination of Jesse James. And my number 1 was Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, that's right.
Nice.
Very, very cool. Honorable mentions?
There are some that I was surprised that didn't get mentioned at all. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
No, I'm saving that.
That's considered what I figured.
Journey. Epic Journeys.
Epic Journeys. Films that
finally,
are
I can
related.
Bust out Homeward Bound.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then what? Reservoir Dogs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saving
mean,
that.
Again, any Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An outlaw. Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs. And then I feel like there was... I didn't want to use any Westerns because there were a lot of Westerns. Yeah. Any Western movie that people are sitting here yelling at their iPod or whatever listening
it's
device.
It's
going to
get
like
mentioned.
Why we're not using
episode.
It.
It's probably going to be on my Western list because yes. I was like, those are the, like you said, Kevin, Outlaw Josie Wales is the first thing that comes to mind amongst many other outlaws.
And I'll tease it when the Western list will be out for Django Unchained. So wait for that Christmas time.
Okay.
Alrighty. Suckers. yeah. There's a lot of lists coming about. Our gangster film should come out with Gangster Squad, even though I heard it's not good. Gangster Squad. But our gangster episode will come out with that concurrently.
Seeing the trailer more, I'm like, I'm getting it. I'm feeling it. I'm like, all right, yeah, I want to see this. I was like, even though I've heard bad things about it, every time I see the trailer, I'm more and more interested in it.
I love the cast.
Yeah, the cast is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know I've heard it's not good. So
yeah, me too. I've heard that as well.
but yeah. All right. Anything else? Jenny, honorable mentions?
I don't have any.
I don't have any either.
I have one, and this is... Now, Adam didn't tell me to watch this. I heard it through Brian with the Y, because after Assassination came out, I think you told Brian to watch The Long Riders.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian talked about it, so I immediately went out and watched it, and I was like, this movie's awesome. But The Long Riders and Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's so many on the run... Like outlaw movies too that we could do a whole episode on that.
Nowhere to run.
Nowhere to run. Nowhere to run. With
Jean Claude. Raising Arizona.
Yes.
That's a good outlaw one.
H.I. Should have been on this list, but I'm saving that for another list.
Okay. Outlaws who marry police officers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. There's a lot of movies for that one.
escape convict movies.
Oh yeah. Okay.
All right. A little bit of business. If you're going to buy something off Amazon, why not come to our website, go through our little link, and then we get a little couple shekels thrown our way. If you just want to donate, you're like, hey, this podcast sounds pretty cool. I want to donate. You could. There's a donate button through PayPal. You could just throw us a dollar or two. Whatever. Doesn't matter. And then soon, if you're in the LA area, we're going to start doing some live podcasts, like, you know, with live audience and stuff. Hopefully we're going to have some really cool guests coming up. So keep an eye out for that. And, yeah, what else? Follow us on Twitter at The Film Podcast, on Facebook, facebook.com/TheListFilmPodcast. You could follow me on Twitter at Ricardo. ULTRERAS.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at an Adam Scott, AN_AdamScott.
And I'm at K Zuberbeer, that's ZUBERBIER.
And what else do we have?
You can check out reviews at shootingthescript.com.
Yes.
My website blog where I write movie reviews and lists and whatnot.
And then you also have, you write reviews for?
I also write reviews for the MoviePass blog, blog.moviepass.com. Probably going to do some more writing beyond. I'm probably going to start doing lists and stuff for them too.
Really?
Yeah. They're expanding.
We should get one of those dudes on here as a guest.
One of which dudes? The MoviePass dudes?
Yeah. It's got to be somebody.
They're based out of New York.
Oh, we can do Skype it or something. all right. What else? That's about it. Jenny, anything you want to plug?
No, your cupcake I got blog? Nothing.
No?
I haven't made cupcakes in
a while. I know. What's wrong with you?
I don't have a blender anymore.
Kind of disappointed me.
I moved.
You got a housewarming party.
I know.
But we did. We this is brand new Thunderdome Studios. So first episodes.
In my old room.
From Jenny's old room / the new Thunderdome Studios. Until next time, have a good week.